We just got a letter. We just got a letter.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
Welcome back, everyone, to another fantastic episode of We Speak Dispatch. We are speaking dispatch, and we are speaking it to you. So we have got our regular cast of suspects and characters. Jill, how's it going in there?
It's going great. We got to hurry up. I got brownies in the oven, so.
These are priorities, right? Hey, Jill, what about you? How's it going where you are?
I'm glad Jill's brownies are about done, because I'm going to head out and mow.
Oh, my God.
Sounds hideous. What about you, Doug? What are you going to do to give back to the community today?
I'm not doing anything. I can't drive for about a month. So I've had surgery on my feet, so I can't do anything. So basically just sit here and do nothing. So I can't do anything.
Somebody has to do it, and it might as well be you.
This public service is going to sit on his butt for a month.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So. Right, I can't even do laundry like I like doing. So it's like.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad. Sad. Anyway. Okay. So today, we're going to be talking about, and this is a post that we saw on Facebook. So some of you may have seen it as well. I'm looking it up on my phone because I want to make sure that I am getting it correct. But it's a topic of conversation that I think we've had previously with this group. But it is talking about especially how to retain good employees, how to keep the people in the comm center that you want to keep there, because we all know that so many comm centers across the country are facing some significant staffing issues. So here was the post. It says, "Dear managers, exit interviews are too late. Instead of waiting for exit interviews or creating complex employee engagement surveys, ask, if you were to resign now, what would be your reason? Your employees' answers will tell you what needs to change." And we all independently saw this post and thought, oh, okay, wow, this is really something that we could spend some time talking about. So, Joe, I'm going to start with you. When you saw it, what was your response? What did you think?
Well, being that I had just filled one out in the last year, 2023, and left the 911 world, and some of the questions on there allowed me the opportunity to show praise for my agency at where I thought they did a really good job, but also allowed me to expand upon my decision to leave. Now, it was very clear why they knew, because I was in a management role where I had communicated that information, but sometimes frontline staff may not want to communicate that information in fear of retaliation or whatever. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to ask those questions. Like, if you see these quarterly surveys or 360 surveys, whatever you want to call them, is there ever a question on there that said, if you were to leave today or tomorrow, what would be your main reason you would leave? And I think if the managers got that information and the dispatchers felt comfortable sharing that, that it would be some impactful information to move the 911 center forward. So I really liked the post when I saw it. I thought it was a good anonymous surveys or 360 degree feedback, whatever you want to call it, but including some questions about not only improving the agency, but why, what would make you leave, and getting some honest feedback about that topic. So I thought it was a great post.
Yeah. I think so as well. Jill, what about you? You had mentioned that this is something that kind of you've taken on in your new role.
Yeah. So at my current job now, we do, I believe it's quarterly. They send out, it's through a company, a third-party company called ENPS. It's Employee Network Promoter System, or some variation thereof. And it's two questions quarterly. Would you recommend, I believe it's, would you recommend a friend to this position? And it's a 1 to 10. And then you list why or why not. And that's it.
Wow. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So last year they did this. And every time it comes out, they, about, I don't know, a month or two after it comes out, or we do the survey, they give us all the results. So last year it affected, we ended up with 3 extra PTO days for the year because they were trying to increase the work-life balance. So
nice.
And they're very good at listening to, my company currently is very good at listening to employees. So when you're doing these surveys, you know that what's being said or what's being brought up in them, people are recognizing and people are acting on them. So, and you see the changes. I'll send out the email that says, here's what the scores were, and here's the changes that are being implemented, or here's things that are coming down the pipeline. So I think it's a really good idea. So nobody's blindsided. You know where you stand.
It's
interesting.
And
you can see, it helps you be competitive in a world like this.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
Great question, Jill, because to me, I've said it on numerous episodes, your best recruiters for your agency are the people that are working there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. if they are answering that 1 to 10 as a 2, we'll say 1 and 2 is bad. That's not good. Whereas if they're marking it 7 and above, you all of a sudden have turned every one of your dispatchers into recruiters, which will hopefully help you fill the seats. I absolutely love that question, Jill. That's a great
question. Yeah.
It's not some long drawn out 10 question thing. It's those 2 questions and that's it.
Yep.
It's, yeah. That's awesome. All they really need to know. So
it does rely heavily though, I think. And Jill, you mentioned it and Joe, maybe you've had this experience as well, being in a management position that you were in is okay. So you put out these surveys. Number one, your agency and your employees have to trust. There's got to be some trust there that they're going to not be retaliated against if they give you some honest feedback. But 2, and I think more importantly to what Jill was talking about, is that action is taken, mm-hmm. that there is some sort of positive response to this, because, you know, we all have joked in our classes that, you know, there's 2 things that dispatchers hate: change and things staying the same. And so, you know, when you are taking into account some of these responses, is maybe they are saying, oh, we, you know, we wish we had this or whatever, that to take those opportunities for positive change or implementing new programs when you can. Doug, you look like you've got.
I just think that because I've worked in some comm centers that are like less than half their staff is there. They lost half of them. And I think management sometimes doesn't want to know the real reason. They want to imagine the reason. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. And so when you do an exit interview or you talk to people that used to work there and you ask them, you know, why did you leave? And you get the, you know, hard answer. And sometimes it's, you know, it's your fault. And it's like, it's hard for management sometimes to accept that and say, oh my God, maybe I'm an issue. Maybe I should look here first before I start saying, why the hell can I keep anybody? I mean, I think that's kind of a big thing,
right?
That a lot of people in management or supervisory roles, it's like almost a personal attack. You know, oh, you don't want to do it because of this. It's like, you can't take it that way. It's a business. I mean, that's why when Jill's talking private industry, they can do that kind of stuff. It's different than public service like we're doing. And it should be like that. It should be like private industry. But a lot of times we're afraid to ask the questions because we don't want to get. I mean, I did see something. Somebody sent me something about McDonald's and I'll put it up on the screen here and whenever I can see it. But it says, we value your growth and your contributions. This is a no quit restaurant because we feel many situations can be resolved. It is the policy of this restaurant that an employee cannot quit until he or she talks to a restaurant manager or area supervisor. I mean, I'm going, look, they want to know, why are you quitting?
That's McDonald's.
McDonald's of all places. It's just, to me, it's like, sometimes that answer is not what you want to have. And people get very offended by it. And it's, you know, it's kind of like the thing that I know Leslie used to do this too during CTO classes where their trainee reviews the trainer. Mm-hmm. And people are always like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. And it's like, why not? Why not hear what's going on? So,
Go with that, Doug, about accepting the feedback. In our employee reviews, we used to have to ask certain questions of the employee during the employee review. And one of them is, what can I do to improve my leadership or the department as a whole? Where the employee just got to say whatever they wanted to my performance. And then what is one thing I can do to better promote your success or be a leader of you? And so every time I got more comfortable with those conversations because of those questions, and I had trust built with my employees that the real honest ones came in and they would just lay it on the line. And basically when the 360 surveys would go out, I had already heard everything that was being written because we had to do it during the employee reviews one-on-one.
Yeah, and that's great.
Reviews get turned into HR. So our format was kind of generic, but I did like that section of it.
I mean, that's the thing. If you can get comfortable with that, accepting that stuff and saying, you know, maybe it's not always positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the employees got more comfortable answering the question as the years went on, too. Yeah. Because
whoa. So my company now will also, they send HR out to talk to all the essentially line level people and have a one-on-one conversation with them. Like it's you walk in, you tell them everything that's on your mind. It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You just tell them everything you want to know. And that's another way they keep a pulse on what's going on inside the different locations and seeing if there's trends across, like, here's this area, there's trends or whatever. And that's how they also help to make changes and adjust things accordingly. So,
yeah, there's so many, like SurveyMonkey and even Google Forms. You can send out all of these different opportunities for people to give you, and you can make it anonymous. So people don't, you know, have to, especially I think if you're implementing this program and it's fairly new to your organization, I think, you know, maybe starting with some type of anonymous feedback might set that standard for, hey, we're trying this out, you know, build that trust a little bit.
But I would think before that, I mean, like you said, the conversation before, but I mean, that's the thing. You have to have a open conversation before, because if you've got somebody who's on a vendetta, and then yeah, employee who's like, I'm going to slam the hell out of them and say all these bad things. Well, we kind of have to tell everybody, this is what's going on. I mean, we're going to look at the news and talk about this stuff. And let's be adults, for God's sake.
True. That is so true.
I do believe, because of the type of industry I'm in and the size of it, that if you say certain things, they're going to figure out where you are. So it's not, it says they're anonymous, but it's not really, because we're not a very big organization. So you can kind of deduce what's going on here. So,
and I would think, and maybe, you know, maybe you'll have a different experience, but that 9 times out of 10, I think most of the supervisors, managers, directors, they know what the issues are. But what it does now is it almost is harder for those in those management positions to, now they've got to take action. It's in writing now, because we all know if it's not written down, it didn't happen. So now it's in writing. So now there's this requirement almost.
But I think that's the key, though. I've found this to be almost all over the place. Every time I ask this question, people know what the problems are. They know what's going on. It's just, do I address that issue or not? Yes. And sometimes they're just like, it's easier if I just don't address it. And it's, I ask this all the time in classes. I get ready to post it and I say, write down the most important thing impacting your center today. There are so many different answers out there, and I guarantee people know these answers already. It's just, I don't want to really do anything about it.
Sometimes the negative feedback, though, can be a positive towards your performance with the people that get to see them. Now, this is a little bit of a stretch. What I mean by that is, sometimes as supervisors, we may have to follow FMLA rules, or we can't talk about discipline other than to our superiors. And maybe if we have handled it, but nobody else has talked about it, and you get maybe slammed per se in a survey that says all this stuff about never does anything with the FMLA abuse, or never does this or never does that, but you have communicated with your superiors and everybody's on the same page, they now know by that being written that you're not going out and talking to people you can't talk to about it. So sometimes just because you get slammed doesn't mean necessarily that it's bad. It could actually a help towards you for your superiors if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the exit interviews is an important thing. It's kind of like any kind of review, like Leslie and I and Joe does. When we teach classes, people give out evaluations afterward. I don't anymore. But anyway, but when you give those things out, I mean, sometimes you read them and you're like, oh my goodness, really? It's like, but sometimes you just got to look at it going, okay, maybe I am doing this. Maybe I do talk to my guest or whatever. And it's like, you know, you kind of have to take the good with the bad.
And even in those situations where maybe, okay, it's the end of class, you've given out the evaluations, you've gathered them all up, and the students are no longer there, and you read something, you're like, oh man, if I had known this 5 minutes into the class, I could have changed. And I think that's the value of doing these, not as an exit strategy, but as a retention strategy, to do them on a regular basis, because you can't solve a problem that you don't know exists.
Yeah.
Even though you probably do know that it exists, but that, you know, you have to make the corrections so that the next time you put out that survey, it may be 10 new problems, but at least you're not, you know, repeating the same things over
and
over.
I just wish that our public safety people would adopt the stuff that Joe's talking about and stuff that Jill's talking about, and kind of like say, I'm not afraid to do this anymore. Let's find out what the hell's going on out here. Maybe that would help with our retention. Maybe that would help with our maintaining staffing. I mean, we kind of knew what was going on with people. So
I think that's a big topic. Yeah. And maybe that's the conversation that those who are listening to this podcast or maybe in those positions can take this and say, hey, we're going to try something new. We're, you know, hey, 2024, God forbid, is not that far away. And, you know, we're going to get ready for the next year or the next quarter or the next schedule rotation, whatever it is, but say, hey, we're going to try this because it's important. We care about you as employees. And I'll give a shout out to Doug. I remember we were teaching someplace. It was in Yuma, Arizona. And it was, you know, if you had a magic wand, what would be the thing that you would change about your center? And a lot of people put, oh, if we had windows or if we were on the rooftop or we had a coffee maker, you know, all of this stuff. And, you know, Doug's feedback from that exercise was the most, you know, so you've got windows and you've got the greatest equipment and you've got the newest desks and you've got the, you know, all the fancy stuff. But if you don't have the people sitting at those consoles, looking out those windows, answering those phones, doing all that thing, it doesn't matter. Because people truly are your biggest asset. And I think sometimes we just get so caught up in stuff that we don't listen to the feedback that they're giving us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are not going to have any exit interviews here, are we? We're going to let's send out an evaluation for this episode, shall we?
No. Now we're gonna do the no quit thing for McDonald's. You ain't quitting.
Yeah. I love that. It forces people to have those conversations with, you know, those who can make a difference.
As opposed to just walking out the door saying goodbye. It's like, why not say, why do you want to leave? We're trying to give you a career or something. It's like,
it's tough.
Yeah. That's not a good thing.
Wow.
We've solved another problem. Anywho.
Yeah. There we go. You know, as we're just talking about this, I'm thinking of all the jobs that I've either quit or left. They knew that it was coming. It was never a secret. So when it was finally like, hey, I'm leaving, it wasn't like a, oh, okay, surprise. It was more of a, yeah, we understand. So like, I'm pretty vocal when it comes to that sort of stuff, but I also know other people aren't. So
yeah.
So it was never like, I've always made it, every time I've ever left a job, just thinking back, it's always been, they've known like, hey, okay, good luck at your next venture. So nothing changed.
Would there have been
okay, your next venture?
Well, and I know we're kind of at time, but I'm curious, you know, if, and for those of you who have had exit interviews, Joe, and it also depends on you're leaving because you're starting another career or whatever, but you know, if there had been anything that the agency could have done to make you stay.
Yeah, absolutely. My no was the answer was, a matter of us being short-staffed. It's even when we were full-staffed, we didn't have enough bodies to be successful. And so that was proven through multiple staffing studies. And I didn't feel that I could be successful in my current role anymore. And I also worried about the liability we were taking on and putting it on the manager if something major were to happen, because we were so drastically understaffed, only meeting about 55-60% at full staff of recommended numbers.
Good Lord. Wow.
So that, and then you take that upon when people were leaving or we were short staffed with the number of people we actually had, it really got dangerous. And so I didn't want to jeopardize my own health anymore. And so I left the profession that I love. But ultimately, will I go back to 911 someday? Maybe, you never know. I definitely miss the profession, and that's maybe a different episode of don't leave, you know, something you love because you might end up missing it. You never know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's interesting because there are going to be times when there's nothing that can be done, or, you know, you want the best for your employees, even if they're leaving, but to ask for their feedback before they make that decision, I think is critical.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So we are at time.
Yes, we are.
So we are going to give you a send-off, letting you know where we are and how to share this impactful information with some of your coworkers. So, Joe, give us a rundown.
I'm going to give you a rundown a little different. I'm going to ask you, how are you listening to We Speak Dispatch? I'm going to ask you in advance before you turn us off for the next episode. So how do you ever email Jill at wespeakdispatch@gmail.com to be a guest? Which episode was your favorite episode? Because we're on all platforms. Any podcast episode you want to listen to, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, as well as TikTok. So make sure you check us out. Send us questions, whatever you want. We'll do an episode on your favorite question before you quit.
I love it. That's good.
That's right. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Watson Consult is a proud sponsor of the We Speak Dispatch podcast. For more information or to schedule a showroom tour, visit watsonconsoles.com.